Praise God. Good to see you tonight. Ooh, why don't we just be seated and I'll just pray again as we're seated. Father, we thank you tonight for your love for us, just as Nate just spoke about your goodness. Father, tonight we just remember that we belong to you and that you belong to us and that there's nothing that can separate us from your love. There's nothing that can take us out of your hand. There's no defeat that is can overcome the victory that you've already given us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you tonight that we serve a living God. We serve a God of the right now, not just a past historical figure that lived one day and walked the earth one day or created the earth one day, but we serve a here and now God. And we're thankful for that, that whatever's gone before, we thank you for it. And whatever may come, we thank you for it. But we serve you right now, and you're aware, and you are with us, and you are ever present, and you are available to us right now. And we're thankful for that tonight. Father, we look to you tonight to show yourself strong in us and through us tonight, to equip us, to enable us, to empower us. And Father, I ask you to do what you do so well, which is to teach all of us from the inside. That what happens here tonight isn't limited to what I say. Oh, that's hardly anything compared to what it is that you say, that you speak to us. And we ask you to do that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, today, here we are in April. I guess today's the 3rd of April, and we celebrated Easter on Sunday and really celebrated the resurrection. And just some things about that I want to just talk about here for a few minutes. And, you know, Easter, it's a really difficult holiday as a pastor. It can be a very difficult holiday. And on one hand, it's a good holiday because a lot of people come to church. But on the other hand, it can be a very difficult holiday because people come to church and they're in that religious, I'm going to church on Easter mode. And it can just make for a really, you know, odd service on Easter. And it can just make for, while it's good to have people in church, it can just make things a little difficult at times. And, you know, people tend to dress up. And I see y'all didn't wear your Easter bonnets. Fabiola, where was your Easter bonnet on Sunday? At the store. That's where mine was too. But you know, it's just almost like you get that. There's this whole thing that goes through it. I have to tell you, it's probably my least favorite Sunday of the year for that one reason. People come in, they're all stiff and they're nervous. And some people hadn't been in church ever and some hadn't been in church in a long time and they don't know what's going to happen. And a lot of them look like they're just trying to endure it to the end. So they can, you know, go hunt for the eggs or whatever. They can go eat at mama's house, whatever it is. But, you know, and in all of that, it can be difficult sometimes to communicate to people or for us to even recognize that the whole deal about Easter isn't that we're just taking, you know, one day a year to sort of commemorate what Jesus has done for us. It's not even about that. And really, we don't even, I think I said, it was either last Thursday or Friday, I looked at Matt some point during the day and I said, you know, it seems like everybody's all just ramped up about Easter. You know, you in social media, everybody's all talking about all this. I said, why is it I'm just not feeling this like other people are? And he said, because we feel it every day. The reality of the resurrection isn't just something that's just every once in a while it dawns on you. Oh yeah, or we take a moment. And sure, you know, it is scriptural to take a time and remember something, but we need to remember the resurrection every day. And here's the deal. There's power in the resurrection. And Easter is about the power of God. And it can get really lost sometimes where we don't really understand that. We get caught, sometimes we just get caught up on the crucifixion. And we get caught up on the suffering of the crucifixion, which there was great suffering. I'm not trying to take away from that. My goodness. But we have to put our focus on what God has put his focus on, which is the resurrection. And there is so much about the resurrection. To me, it's just very strange that what Romans says that we must believe in order to be saved, we must believe in the resurrection. Not just the dying on the cross. I remember one time when we were out in the street sharing the gospel, and I remember sharing the gospel with someone, and they were telling me, they said, you know, all my life I've been at church on Easter, and all my life I heard about Jesus dying on the cross. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross. And then they went on to say this, but what that had to do with me, nobody ever told me. I had no idea what Jesus dying on the cross had anything. How did that have anything to do with me? I knew he died on the cross, and I even believed in it, but it never really connected to me. And the way it connects to all of us is that he did that for us. He did that as us. And then he was raised from the dead. And the great news about Easter isn't just that God raised Jesus from the dead. It's that we were raised up together with him. In fact, I was thinking about that last week. My favorite Easter scripture, my favorite Easter passage is Ephesians chapter 2. Which most people, Ephesians 2, that's about the resurrection. Yeah, where he raised us up together with him. That's my favorite part of the Easter story. So anyway, Easter, it's all about the power of God. And it doesn't have to be a certain day of the year to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. Because the resurrection itself, when Jesus was raised up out of the grave, it wasn't just that he was raised from the dead. It was that he was raised from sin and death. It wasn't just that a physical body was raised. Because Lazarus was a physical body that was raised. But Lazarus was raised up out of a tomb where his body that had been dead came to life again. But he wasn't raised up out of sin and death. But Jesus was. He was raised up. He, not because he sinned, but he took our sin. He became sin. Paul teaches us in Corinthians that he became sin for us. He became sin. He took on the sin of man and became sin for us. And in that sin, then, the wages of sin is death, he took on our death and he died our death for us. And then when God raised him up, he didn't just raise up a physical body. It wasn't just about causing a body that had been dead to come to life again. It was that he was raised up out of sin and death. And in his resurrection, he defeated sin and death. And the Bible says he defeated hell and the grave. He defeated all of that for us in his resurrection. So it wasn't like a resurrection, the kind of resurrection that Lazarus had, where his spirit had left his body and then his spirit came back into his body, even though that was part of it. That was just one part of it. The big deal is that he defeated death and that he dealt with the sin problem and he dealt with the death problem once for all so that you and I wouldn't have to suffer that penalty of sin, so that you and I wouldn't have to die eternally for our sins. He defeated all that for us and was raised up out of that. That is amazing. And the Bible tells us that that moment of resurrection when Jesus came up, not just out of a tomb, but came up out of sin and death and overcame that for us. When that happened, that was the greatest display of the power of God that the universe had ever seen. And then we can experience that. Every time we lead somebody to the Lord, what we're doing is we are appropriating that same resurrection power to raise them up out of sin and death. The day you called upon the name of the Lord and you were saved, that resurrection power was released in your life. And it raised you not out of physical death. It raised you up out of a spiritual death, which is a much worse, deeper, greater problem. And it raised you out of sin and death. You were resurrected. Isn't that good tonight? That's what the power of God did. So Easter is all about the power of God. And the power of God being demonstrated, being applied, being, you know, put on display. It is the thing that we look at and say, wow, there's the power of God in action. It's about the power of God. Now I just want to read some scriptures here tonight. And I think I'm going to begin over here in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, I think I'll begin reading in verse 7. But before I get to that, I just want to remind you, Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. And as he wrote it, he, in this passage particularly, he was recounting some things about his life and who he had been before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, before his life was changed, before that resurrection happened in him. And he had, you know, he was living a life that according to this world was a pretty good life. He had reached a place of stature in this life that not many would reach. He was an educated man in a world where most people, the overwhelming majority of people, were illiterate. He wasn't just a literate man, couldn't just read, but he could read and write in such a way that other people would want to read his writing. And he was educated, you know, fully educated, which not very many people were. So in this world, things were going well for him. You know, he wasn't a down and outer. Some of us, you know, that was our story when God found us. We were really down and out. But Paul wasn't in that place. He was in a good place in this world's eye. And he was a Roman citizen, which was a good thing to be in that day. That was the best citizenship you could have. It's kind of like being an American citizen in our day. Well, up until recently, that's been a good thing to have. And so yeah, I hope it's still a good thing to have. Maybe some places we go, it's not looked on, you know, maybe people don't like that we're Americans, but you know, for a big part of the history of our history, we that was a good thing to have. And so that's where he was, and he was born well. You know, he was well born, and he was well educated, and he had good citizenship. He had all, you know, all the things and a position in society. So you know, all the things that the world would want. But verse 7 says this. He said, "But what things were gained to me?" So all those things that I just mentioned to you, these I have counted loss for Christ. In other words, anything that I could get in the world or have in the world, or anything I would be born into, or any privilege, or anything that I've attained, none of that matters. It all pales in consideration of what Jesus has done for us. And he says, this is, I'm reading, or are we finding it? Philippians chapter 3, and now I'm in verse 8. Is this right? Yeah, okay, good job. It says, "Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish." I mean, that's, I know the Aussies, they use that word rubbish. We use the word trash or garbage. Rubbish, trash, garbage. Filth, something you don't want, "that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." In other words, trusting in God to make me right and to complete me, not looking to my own ability. That, and then he goes on to say, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." It's interesting that in this, when Paul is listing what is most precious to him, the first thing he says is, "that I may know him." And I want to remind us all tonight that Christianity is about knowing God. It's about knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. It's about actually having a relationship with him. And you know, maybe tonight, maybe you've kind of gotten in a cycle where you've been, you know, neglecting having a relationship with God. And you don't have to come down here and fall on your knees and wail. You can just say, you can just right there where you are say, "You know, I want to make that right. I want to just turn around and look at you and remember what I'm doing here. I'm in relationship with you. I know you. You know me. Let's talk here." You can just make it right that quickly, you know, just renew your fellowship with him. And so that was the most important thing to him. And then the very next thing after that was the power of his resurrection. Now, I bring these things up because I have to tell you, in the modern world in which we live and in the Christian culture, which most of us, you know, are exposed to on a pretty regular basis, a lot of times it seems to me like Christians have no regard for either of those things. For either having a real, living, vital, connected relationship with God. We're really interested in doing a lot of things for God, doing a lot of things in his name. But what about just knowing him? And, you know, here it is. Just knowing him is such a privilege. Just that I know God. Forget anything that I work to attain. You know, oh, well, you know, I've really worked up now my way and into the things of God. Now I've matured as a Christian and look at me. I'm teaching now in the kids ministry where I used to just be a helper. But now I'm a teacher. Look at me. You know, I'm being silly. But Ben's going, "Don't talk about me. I've worked my way up now. I'm a teacher." She's talking about me. But I'm going to tell you the greatest privilege of all is none of that. It is knowing him. Isn't that it? It's about knowing him. And so whatever you're doing, thank God that we're all doing things and that we're serving others and serving God. Those are scriptural things to do. But ultimately, we need to know him. That's what got this whole thing started. Isn't that true? You know him? It's so easy for me to understand this in light of marriage. Matt and I have been married almost 26 years now. Dear Lord, how did that happen? That's a long time. I was just 10 when we married. It was kind of a weird situation, but it's okay now. Anyway, I think about that. But, you know, it's so easy in marriage. I don't know how many times I've looked at Matt and said, but wait a minute. Didn't we, all this stuff that's going on, didn't it all come? Isn't all this just a product of the fact that we wanted to know each other, that we wanted to have a relationship? But all this stuff can so get in the way of just knowing each other. Am I the only one that ever happens to? It's all these other things can just take such precedence over. Wait a minute now. I think the way we got all these other things started was because we wanted to know each other. And it can be the same way with our relationship with God. We can get all this stuff going where we don't know Him. So that's a really important point that Paul made here. It's just, let's get real here for a minute. Do we know Him? And it's not, I used to know Him. I mean, sometimes I've experienced that in marriage. Well, I used to know you, but, you know, today, right now, it's a living, breathing, vital connection that we have with Him on an ongoing basis. We don't need to lose that or let go of it or get distracted from that. And then the next thing He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And I think, again, in this world, this Christian culture that we are living in, so many people have just discarded the fact that Christianity is all about the power of God. The resurrection is about the power of God. It is not about your political views. And for some places, it just seems to me like Christianity has become about people's politics, whatever their politics are, one way or another. But Christianity isn't about politics. God is not a Republican, and He's not Democrat, and He's not a libertarian. He's not any of those things. I think He's way above any of that. Way above it. Yeah, I mean, He's way beyond that. And He's a God of power. And it has become, according to traditional Christian teaching in this day, most of God's power is done, has been, you know, set really on the back burner. He used to do those things, but He's not really doing that now. I mean, I've heard people say the way God heals now is through doctors and medicine. Well, I'm very thankful for doctors and medicine, but what happens when the doctors and medicine run out of ideas? And let's just be real, they don't really even know what's going on. I mean, and I'm not, thank God for, I mean, you know, I have doctors in my family and I'm thankful for them. But, you know, here's the deal. The other day, Harry had all these bumps all over his body. And he's itching like crazy. This is on Easter Sunday. He's just itching like crazy. And it's been going on for 2 days. And we have all diagnosed him. Matt diagnosed him. And I diagnosed him. And my mom diagnosed him. Eddie diagnosed him. And Grayson diagnosed him. So we all have, you know, and we're all giving him different things to, you know, whatever. Take this, do that, whatever. We're all trying to fix him. And he's just like, you know, Grayson's saying, just go soak in a hot tub of water. That'll make it quit itching, you know. And I'm giving him Benadryl. And, you know, we're just doing everything in the natural and doing whatever. So I sent him over on Sunday afternoon because, you know, I didn't want my brother to even have one day of work off. So I thought he needed to see a patient. So I sent him over there. So let them see what they can do. And there's two doctors that live in the house. Well, he sees one in the yard on the way in. And she says it's one thing. And then he goes in the house and sees my brother. And he says, oh, and he doesn't know what she said. And he says, one thing I know for sure, it's not. And he says what she said. So nothing on them. But, I mean, I'm telling you, if I had let all of y'all look at it, we'd all have 10 different answers. We don't know what it is. Do you understand? And that's just the nature of how it is for everything. Anybody that says they know for sure anything is just pretty much, you know, come on. It's just the grace of God, y'all, that we got here tonight. Honestly. I mean, sometimes we get really focused in on the one thing that went wrong. Y'all, look, we're in a room. Everybody's dressed. The lights are on. The candles are all lit. My goodness. It's amazing, isn't it? You think about it. All the stuff that life takes. But anyway, the point of it is that we have reduced, but what I was saying was, you know, we've reduced everything down to, well, and I'm not saying we have, but there's a big portion of Christians have said, you know, well, God just heals through medicine. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, if that's the only way God's healing, then we're getting shortchanged, because in the early church, Jesus didn't, you know, the blind Bartimaeus, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." And then y'all remember the story. Jesus said, wait, I hear it. What is it? Oh, Bartimaeus, come to me. Okay, y'all, here's the name of a really good eye doctor. And Judas, bring some money over and open the treasury. Yes, this should cover it. I know you don't have insurance, and this will cover it. And hopefully you can get an appointment in the next week, and he can take care of you. Honestly, that's what we've come to, and we aren't anything like what our roots are. And this is really who we are. And I'm just telling you, we've all just sort of, you know, that's why I really appreciate whenever Jeremy Gall comes, he's an evangelist. He's just got his one thing, man. He is here. He's getting people saved and getting people healed, and that's just about it. Don't ask him to marry you or bury you, because you're in trouble. He can't do anything with it. You know what I'm saying? He can't counsel you for your marriage. I mean, there's a lot of things he can't help you with. But if you know, but I really love, I'm so thankful that God set gifts like him in the church, in the body of Christ. Because when he comes in, I'm like, my goodness, I forgot how to even believe God. It just gets right in my business, and I really appreciate that. You know, really appreciate somebody that's just out there pushing things, and I'm going, oh yeah, that's right. We serve a God of great power. Amen, amen. But we do, whether Jeremy's here telling us about it or not. We are power people, and we are utterly dependent as Christians on the power of God. Whether we recognize it or not, that's how we are to live. Now, there's also kind of something that we've sort of bought into, and I've been as guilty as you have, and maybe more guilty, is that God is helping us to do better. Like, we ourselves have gifts, or we have strengths, or we're, you know, whatever, and God just helps us to do better, and he takes us and works with us where we are and helps us to do better. And while that's true, there is a truth there. I was just thinking about some things that we see in the Bible. You know, watching this Bible series, I didn't watch every night because some of them, I had to tell you, it was really hard. It didn't seem to follow my Bible a lot, and so I was getting mad, but I watched some. And one thing that I noticed in there is that there would be these miraculous things that would happen. And these weren't made up stories. These are real things that happened. The things in the Bible really happened. And, you know, there's the story about them going to Jericho. Y'all remember when they went down to Jericho? They went down to Jericho. Now listen, in our day and age, we would never have been able to do what Joshua and them did at Jericho. Because we would have gotten together, and I would have probably been leading us. I would have got a whiteboard, and we would have started out. We would have made up strategies for taking Jericho, wouldn't we? And, you know, and we'd get together in a group, and, you know, Eddie would say, well, you know, I know some guys who have some big cannons. Let me call them. And then Brian Lewis would jump up and say, who needs them? I got dynamite out in the truck. Come on. We would have. And then, you know, and then Robin, she would have said, I've been trained by the U.S. government, the best trainers in the world of how to defeat the enemy. Come on, y'all, I can show you what we need to do. We can get this and pull these walls down, you know. And Natalie would have come up with some kind of crazy idea, because she does, that would have worked, that would have somehow or another aligned everything and pulled it down. You know what I'm saying? We would have had some really great schemings to come up here with what we're going to do to pull down the wall. But no, God's great plan that he had is just to march around the walls. Do you understand? There was nothing there that he was taking. He wasn't making the most of their natural abilities. He didn't say, let's get the strongest people and stand them up by the wall and let them push hard. He didn't do anything with their natural abilities. Yeah, he didn't even say, let's get the tallest and stack the next tallest and then make huge human pyramids and then we could get over the wall. He didn't do that, did he? Certainly somebody could have shot an arrow or done something, you know. He didn't do that. He just told them to march around the building and to be quiet. Just to march, you know, go out and walk around it day by day. And, there are many reasons why maybe God had them doing that, walking around. But certainly after you walk around those walls and you can't talk, so you're walking around the walls, you got to be thinking, boy, those walls are really big. I mean, every day it seems like it would almost discourage you. Every day you're walking around the walls. Those are big walls. They're fortified walls. And, you know, and the next day you're looking, those are big walls. I mean, I think one reason he had them walk around so many days was so when the walls fell down, they would remember they didn't have anything to do with bringing those walls down. That there was nothing of their own might, their own strength that brought those walls down. It was just the power of God. I mean, they had marched around enough to know we in ourselves can't pull those walls down. But yet, those walls came down. And they came down through nothing but God's power. That's what brought the walls down. And it really happened. This isn't like just some make-believe story that God put in the Bible so that we'd have something to talk about in children's church. This really happened. These were real people like me and you. And they didn't have natural ability to pull it down. So God didn't even take their natural ability and just add a little bit to it. This was just way beyond anything. I mean, there's just story after story like that in the Bible where people who couldn't do anything did great things. For no other reason than the power of God. So I'm saying if Paul had so much confidence in the power of God that he knew about the power of God and he longed to know about the power of God, and then let's fast forward here. I'm not going to take time to read a whole bunch of scriptures, but let's go to Acts. Go over to Acts chapter 4. Well, before you go there, wait a minute. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And guys, I'm talking to us about our own lives, but I'm also talking to people that you're life givers. And you, God uses you, and I know God, you're being equipped to reach people. And I'm going to tell you, in case you haven't known this, but I think you have maybe tonight, I'm just reminding you, we aren't going to reach people with pleasant words. We're not going to reach people by talking about a moral compass. We're not going to reach people by demonstrating to them that this is the absolute truth. We're going to have real power. We live in a world that has lost its way. If you haven't figured that out, all you got to do is just go over here to the gas station and buy a newspaper. And it won't take long to figure out we live in a messed up world where people they have totally lost their way. But we are not going to convince them with our good words, with our eloquent speech, with us, you know, oh, whoa. It's not going to happen, people. There has to be some real power involved to change people and to reach people. And so more than ever before, we have got to have power in us and on us and working through us, working in our lives, real power. And, you know, Paul, they had that in the first century, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He put on displays of God's power. That's what he did. That's how he lived. And you and I, our lives should be a representation of God's power, not just eloquent words, not just all the knowledge and wisdom that we have, not just, you know, our pontifications and our philosophizing, as I like to call it. It's not just about that. It's about real power that makes a real difference, that brings a real transformation, that actually brings change, that actually transforms, that actually saves and heals and delivers. That power. Now, is that the kind of Christianity that you're living? Is that the kind of God that you have? Is that what it means to you to be a believer? Is that there's real power in your life? Not just kind of hope so, but real power, aren't you? That's how Paul was. He was like, look, guys, we got to have some power here if anything's going to happen. I'm not going to live with just a moral code. Look, they already had a moral code. They were Jews. They already had the Ten Commandments. A lot of the people he preached to, they were Jews. Do you understand? They already had that. They needed the power of God. That's what Jesus came. Jesus came with some power in a man that they hadn't seen like that before. Oh, they'd seen displays of God's power, but they'd never seen a man who applied God's power with authority. They'd never seen that. They'd never seen a man that was like he was. That it was like things obey him. The wind and the sea obey him. He scared people with his power. Y'all remember when the madman of Gadara came to him out of the catacombs, and he was bloody because he would just tear at himself, and chains couldn't bind him. He had a power all right on him. It was a supernatural evil power. An evil supernatural power was giving him superhuman strength where nothing could hold him. And Jesus delivered that man. He cast the devils out of that man. And you remember what happened to the devils? They went into the pigs, and then it drove the pigs crazy, and they ran off the cliff. Y'all remember? And how did the people respond? They asked him. They begged him to leave their area. You have got to leave. We don't want you here. The man who had just set free the biggest scoundrel, the worst case in town, the baddest guy that the region had probably ever known, Jesus set him utterly free, and it freaked everybody out. They weren't ready for the power man. They weren't. They were like, what are you doing? And we may have that at times where people are like, I don't know what to I got to get away from you. I don't really know what to do with that. A lot of times it's the church people. I got to get away from that. Any talk about power makes me really nervous. Talk about God healing today. Talk about anything, anything that might be anywhere near supernatural, that's freaky, freaky, freaky. But I'll go home and watch really weird television shows about the supernatural. Darkness, but don't talk about it in church. Isn't it? I mean, every movie, television shows, they're all about some weird, whacked out, evil, dark-sided supernatural thing, but dear me, you come to church and, bringing in the sheaves. That's about all we can handle. No wonder people don't want to come to church. It's interesting when Vinny, y'all have heard the story, Jeremy talked about it a couple weeks ago, and y'all have seen probably video from it. When Vinny Witherspoon got saved last summer in the meeting with Jeremy Gall, he came to church that morning. He came because Josh made him. Josh and Molly and Vinny had come up here, and Courtney was here. And this is before Courtney and Vinny started dating. And they got up. Vinny spent the night with Josh, and Nan's downstairs. And that next morning, Josh goes in and he tells Vinny, get up. We're going to church. And Vinny goes, I don't go to church. And Josh says, you're going to church. Vinny said, I came up here to ride jet skis. Josh said, you ain't riding no jet skis. You are going to get dressed and go to church. You're guesting these people's house, and these people go to church, and you're going to church. And so Vinny's like, yes, sir. And so he came to church, but he wasn't real thrilled about being here. But when he got here, people started talking about speaking in tongues, and he never heard people talk about speaking in tongues. And he was more interested in church than he'd ever been in his whole life. And then they said, we're going to work miracles tonight. And then he asked to come back that night because he didn't get to hear anybody speak in tongues that morning. And he wanted to hear somebody speak in tongues. And he wanted to see what these people were talking about when they talked about miracles. It was his curiosity about power that got him back that night. It was that. Some kind of, not, something had him. I'm telling you, we have been, in a lot of ways, we have been coerced into let's hide everything. And that just really blew that away in a big way for me. Because to hear somebody, if it hadn't been that he wanted to hear somebody speak in tongues, he wouldn't have come to church. What he didn't realize is that everybody around him spoke in tongues. That's what's so funny.
Yeah, that, yeah, all he had to do. And that was funny because when they left church that morning and they were going to eat lunch, I think, at Courtney's house, and he's just kind of freaked out by the service, and I think he's with Courtney and they're talking and everything, and he's going, boy, those people speak in tongues. And somehow or another, he found out that Molly spoke in tongues, and he was right there putting the gas in the car, freaking out. He's going, Molly speaks in tongues! So it's just freaking him out, you know, and Courtney's like, yeah, and so do I. You speak in tongues! You know, it's just like the craziest thing to him. And they're just like, yeah, everybody, we, you know, all of us do. We just take so for granted things that are just huge to other people because they haven't experienced it. Things that are, I've told you so many times, speaking in tongues is supernatural. And you just take it as like, you know, some old hat thing. Come on. It's supernatural. It's God's power enabling you to do it. So many things that you and me just take so for granted. God's healing power, that God really does heal people. Most people don't know that. Most people don't know there's real power, that God really does do things to cause your needs to be met. It's not just a bunch of coincidences. There are real things happening, that God's doing things and enabling and changing and working, that there's, that lives are being transformed. I had a conversation the other day with someone. We were talking about a third person. The third person was a woman whose husband was not interested in spiritual things, and I'm not sure that the woman's husband saved. I don't think the woman's husband even knows the Lord, and that woman was really concerned about her husband. And the woman that I was talking to, the two of us were saying, well, she shouldn't be concerned about that. That's, you know, really not that big a deal, but it's a huge deal to her. Now, easy for me to say it shouldn't be a big deal because my husband's a pastor. But she's saying, you know, she's really concerned about it. But the reason we weren't concerned about it is we both agreed, it's just a matter of time. It's really not a big deal. It's just a matter of time, because we understand the power of God. Because we, and not only do we understand the power of God, we have seen the power of God work on husbands, haven't we, Candy? We've seen the power of God work on husbands, like Bill, and all the rest of you, and all the rest of you too. And so, and we have seen, and so it is, to me, God's power that transforms, that saves. His saving power is real. There is a power that saves. Jesus said, in Luke, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me, or he has empowered me, because there's a power on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, and the power that's on me. And he goes on and he lists what that power does. He's on me to preach the gospel to the poor. And one of the things he says is to bind up broken hearts, to set captives at liberty. And one of the things that he says is to open blind eyes. And if you read that in the context, he's not even talking about opening blind physical eyes. He's talking about opening blind spiritual eyes. And if that power was on him, the same power that's on him and was on him that he was talking about is the same power that's on us. So whenever we have people in our lives, people that we're working with and working on, that same power that worked through him is working through us, and it's opening spiritually blind eyes. And we've seen it open eyes. I've seen so many people, their eyes, their spiritual eyes open. They open. And I mentioned Vinny. I'll tell you another part of that story. Several months before they came up here, and Vinny's ear opened, and he could hear, and all the things that happened to him, and he got saved. Vinny did not, you know, he was, like I told you, he's not interested in church. He's not interested in anything. And Josh and Molly are working on him and talking to him. And I remember Molly calls me one day. She spent all afternoon talking to Vinny. And she's like, Mom, it is so frustrating talking to this guy. He is so uninterested in spiritual things. He is so against everything. He's got an argument here. He's got an argument there. And then just when you think you're about to get him, then he don't care. You know, it's just like the most frustrating thing. You ever tried to deal with somebody like that? It's just every which way and the other. And she's just really, really frustrated and concerned. And because this is real. This is somebody's salvation. That's real stuff, you know. And I said to her, Molly, don't worry about it. He's getting saved. Don't worry about it. And of course, she's the one dealing with him. So she's a lot. It's just like, me saying to the woman with the husband that's not saved, don't worry about it. Well, it's a lot easier for me not to worry than her. And Monty's like, but you don't understand the agony and the frustration. I'm like, just don't worry about it. God's power is at work. It's not your words. It's not what you're saying. It's not all those things. It's God's power that's at work. Well, I didn't know it was going to come like it did. I didn't know it was going to come really just like a lightning bolt from heaven into his ear and pop his ear open. I didn't know. But I did know that the power of God was available and the power of God was at work. And whatever situation that you have going on, whether it's you've been reaching out to somebody, and I know some of you've been working on people, and you have people in your lives, maybe loved ones, maybe people that are very close to you, or maybe coworkers, or who knows. I hope you have somebody in your life that you're reaching out to. I want to tell you tonight, there is a power available. There's a power that's on you, and it's a real and a living power. It's the same power that changed you, that saved you. Come on, some of you were really saved. You know, y'all didn't just get saved from hell. Some of you got saved from a lot of stuff right here. Come on, Tom Tiller. I'm telling you, you got saved from some pretty rough stuff here and now, didn't you? You know what I'm looking around at some testimonies here. And that same power that changed you, only God could have changed you like that. That same power that changed you, that same power is available and is working, even though you may not see it, it's working on that person to open their blind eyes. And I'm telling you, it's just awesome what God will do and how, but you just need to have confidence in it. You need to have confidence in God's power to save. There's a power that saves, and that's that resurrection power working. It works, it, like we've talked about so many times, it heals bodies. It meets needs. A lot of people are posting in the Nate created a Facebook group for people that were taking the 90-day trust tithing pledge guarantee thing. You know what I'm talking about? Where they said, y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't know the official words. 90-day tithing challenge. Eddie knows. Did you take it? Trust challenge. Oh, we have a dispute. Tithing challenge, trust challenge. It's a 90-day tithing trust challenge. And where you tithe, then you trust God. And so in that, he's made the script. And people are posting, you know, great testimonies. Probably Sunday we'll share some for those of y'all who aren't getting those. Really great testimonies that are being shared. But you know what? It's God's power that's causing those things to happen. And you know what? I'm not like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. I never saw that coming. When I read them, I'm like, yeah, that's my God. Yeah, that's what he does. Yeah, go God. Because isn't that what he does? I mean, are you like super shocked that God would actually honor his word? That God would actually come through and show up and do super? No, I'm looking for even more amazing things because that's how I know the power of God to be. He does amazing things. We just need to expect him to be a do it. Again, it's all by faith. I'm not talking about that tonight, but that's how we connect him. But this power is real and it's available, and it's available in whatever area. It will save people. The same power that meets people's financial needs saves those people that seem like nobody could ever, ever reach them. Are you kidding me? You were unreachable at one point. Matt tells about how 5 different people witnessed to him, and he didn't even know what they were talking about. He seemed unreachable. I can imagine that people witnessed to him and left so frustrated. Like, I just took him through everything, and it's just like he's totally blind to what I'm saying, because he was. But there was a power that opened his blind eyes. There was a power. They open your blind eyes. There was a power that opened blind eyes. And that same power is working. That power that saves. That power that delivers and heals. This is what Christianity is about. It's about this power. And Paul, it's about having a relationship with God. And then the next thing he said, you know, having fellowship with God, knowing him. And it's about the power. And we can't neglect the power side. We get caught up in living as Christians and we forget. It's about the power, man. It's about resurrection power. What you need power for? We got it. It's covered. It's been released. There's power here. There's power for whatever's needed. There is power available. That's what Easter's about. There's power. There's power working on the darkest, those that are trapped in the greatest darkness, seem to have the thickest blinders. There's power working. There's power working. Wonder-working power. There is power working. And I don't know, you know, I have to tell you, I don't know exactly when or how. It's interesting to see how it happens. I didn't know that Buddy was going to be home one day sitting in his recliner and by himself. He was going to come to the end of himself and cry out to God and get saved right there. I didn't know that was going to be the story, but I knew there was going to be a story. I didn't know what the story was going to be, but I knew there would be one because I know him and I know his power. And so you just hang in there and trust his power. His power will do amazing things. So don't be discouraged with anybody. I didn't necessarily mean to take this little stream tonight, but we'll just run with it. His power is working. Harry has this all these people, and I'm like in the background coaching him, and he'll run out here and do something, and then he'll come home. Ah! And I'm like, okay. Again, it's easy for me to say, don't worry. And so I was the other day we were talking, and I said, it is going to be so awesome when you and so-and-so go and do this ministry thing. And he looked at me because the person, my so-and-so, was not Grayson or Wesley or somebody here at the church or Tori or, you know, one of you or Pastor Nate or somebody. It was this guy that seems as lost as you could possibly be. And I'm referring to him and Harry doing this ministry trip together. And Harry's looking at me and I realized what I said. And I said, it is just a matter of time because the power of God is working. The power of God's working. So I don't know exactly what all the details will be. Those will be interesting. I don't know exactly, you know, where it'll be. I didn't know Vinny was going to be on the second row here at church with, you know, Jeremy Gall speaking a miracle, as he says. I don't know what it was. I don't know how the details will be. But I just know there's power working. So whatever's going on with you, I don't know how all the details will be. But we'll celebrate the details. We'll jump up and down. We'll rejoice. We'll run around the church with you. We'll let you tell it. We'll put it on video. We'll put it on YouTube. We'll put it in our next I Give Life course. Whatever. I don't know what the details will be. I just know there's power working. There's power working, and it's opening blind eyes, and it's binding up broken hearts, and it's meeting needs and healing bodies. It's resurrecting the dead, those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. That resurrection power is still working. Woo! Let's stand up.